Okay, our friends. So today we're going to learn quite a bit, and we're also going to kind of walk through a lot of information. So buckle up and hold on tight, because there's some fun stuff we're going to talk about today. Today's book is called The Discovery of Anime and Manga. It was written by Phil Amara and Oliver Chin, and it's illustrated by Juan Care. And it is read today by Mommy and
Jeff.
Jeff?
Yes, Jeff.
Any Jeff in particular?
No, just Jeff.
Like just a random Jeff?
Yes, Jeff.
Okay, well, just random Jeff. I hope you enjoyed today's story. Are you ready?
Yes.
Jeff. Okay, here we go. Ethan and Emma saw a colorful crowd headed to the convention center. "This looks fun," said Ethan. "Let's check it out," suggested Emma. Once inside, they could hardly believe their eyes. Asian comic books featured a rainbow of characters.
"I want to write stories like these," said Emma.
"Fantastic cartoons played with sensational action."
"I want to draw those," shouted Ethan.
"I can show you,"
said a kind voice.
It was Dao Yu.
This special red panda had taught them about ramen, which is a soup, right? A food. Mm-hmm. And fireworks. And we can see Dao Yu is a pretty cute little panda, isn't he? But it sounds like he's a magical panda because first of all, he talks. Second of all, he knows a lot of stuff. And he has a gong that can move you from one place to another. And I'm going to say that's a pretty amazing gong, right? And it sounds like there's other books in this series where he's talked about foods and explosives. We'll have to check those ones out too, won't we?
The Japanese word for comics is manga. Animation is anime,
he explained.
Do you want to learn how they were created?
Sure, they replied.
The history of how Japan's popular culture changed the world is amazing, said Dao.
By banging his small gong, he could transport them to a distant place in time.
Let's go!
Gone.
Welcome to the 12th century, announced Dao. In the old capital Nara, Buddhists practiced itoki, or telling a story from a scroll.
It's like a cartoon, observed Emma. Smaller scenes in the painting combine to tell a larger tale.
That's an interesting thing, because in the picture we can see how this monk is explaining the history to the people, and he's got pictures that he's drawn, and as he points to each picture, the story moves along just in the picture. There's no words. It's just pictures. And that is an important thing for us to see them do, because do you know when you make a cartoon or even a movie, they do something called storyboarding, and they tell the story on a board, on a piece of paper. Without using a lot of words, they just show you what it would look like. It's a cool technique to learn. Now let's go back to Dao. It looks like he's got his gong. Zoom! They appeared in 1840 in Tokyo.
Manga means playful drawings, read Emma.
That's what these are, remarked Ethan.
Hokusai was a famous painter, Dao said. Prints of his art were bound into books that became bestsellers.
They zipped to Osaka in 1935. Dao explained,
traveling storytellers carried kamishabai, large pictures displayed in a wooden box.
Wow. In the picture we can see, it almost looks like they would put the pictures up to tell the story in the box. And they strap the box to a bicycle, right, Jeff? So that wherever the storyteller goes, he can just stick it on his bicycle and zoom off to the next town.
I see, said Ethan. When the performer shows another illustration, the audience hears the next part of the story.
Aha. Uh-huh. So that's how he would, instead of having to go to the movies came to you. Now let's see. On the next page of this book, we see a totally different thing, don't we? It looks like a comic book. And it's drawn in a different way.
You read manga from right to left, and then top to bottom. However, Osamu Tezuka and his friends loved reading comics in newspapers. Whoa, going backwards takes practice,
say the kids, and they're looking at this old-fashioned comic that you would see printed in a newspaper. It's an old-fashioned comic. They whisked ahead to 1945. Dao whispered.
However, during World War II, the government rationed paper and banned manga and hired artists to make posters and cartoons that supported their empire. After the war, like many nations, Japan had to rebuild,
said Dao.
The U.S. occupied Japan until 1952, and American culture was very influential. Osamu Tezuka studied to be a doctor, but became an artist.
And in the picture we can see, here he is drawing, but I can see a couple things that I recognize in his artwork, in his room. What do you see? Do you see something you recognize?
Mickey and Bambi.
Mm-hmm. He's got some American art in his office. He's got a picture, he's got a poster of the movie Bambi, which is a Walt Disney production. And he's even got a little statue of Mickey Mouse. So he's studying American animation.
Tezuka serialized his comic strips in a monthly magazine at the same time. He was so busy that he started his own studio. A manager handled his business while many assistants finished his drawings details. Called the God of Manga, Tezuka loved seeing and producing films, too. He created a robot boy, a white lion cub, a mysterious doctor, and many more. In his lifetime, he drew 150,000 pages and created 60 anime.
Wow. That's quite a bit of stuff, isn't it? And now we've seen some of these things. Astro Boy. And then another film that's very popular with this little white lion. His name is Kimba. And there's even an Astro Girl. Yeah, there's lots of cool looking stuff going on here.
Yeah. Zap!
The trio were in the 1960s.
Now everyone wanted to watch TV,
said Dao.
Anime was more than superheroes.
One of the first anime broadcasts in the U.S., Tetsujin 28, is a gigantic robot controlled by a boy.
Speed Racer is an 18-year-old who wants to be the best pro race car driver, said Emma.
Doraemon is a robot cat from the future who plays with kids like us, said Ethan.
We can see it all in the pictures. In the 1970s, the science fiction genre of mecha featured giant machines. The teenager Koji pilots the 60-foot-tall Mazinger to protect the Earth. And we can see that. Gatchaman's five heroes drive vehicles that unite into a superplane. Mecha battled on other planets. Space battleship Yamato recast Japan's grandest World War II ship into 2199. boosted by popular toys, Gundam has spacecraft transform into huge armored samurais. And we can see all this futuristic looking spacecraft and ships and robots, and we can see all kinds of stuff going on here. They leapt into the 1980s. Women were creators too, said Ethan.
Rumiko Takahashi spun funny stories about girls' relationships with boys, said Emma. Meanwhile, Dragon Ball showed epic battles of mythic warriors, noted Dao.
And we can see a lot of these different characters. There's Ranma and Akane and Kagome and Inuyasha and Goku and all sorts of different, and Shenron, all sorts of different characters.
Other futuristic manga like Akira and Ghost in the Shell became anime. Translated into foreign languages, these thrilling and explosive adventures were unlike anything most Westerners had seen and made them want more.
And we can see the characters here. They were pretty intense. They have battle images that they are using here where they're fighting against one another. And there's a special way in art that they show that in anime. They draw like little... they draw their characters that look like they're in action by putting kind of swirlies around the characters when they move.
1989 ended an era as both Japan's emperor and Osamu Tezuka died. But by then, Hayao Miyazaki started a new one. His company, Studio Ghibli, produced a string of celebrated animated movies like My Neighbor Totoro. Exploring how people coexist with nature, his tales paint extraordinary lands in bold watercolors. Box office champs in Japan. They won awards worldwide, and Miyazaki was called the Walt Disney of Japan.
We can see all of the different things that he has done. A movie called My Neighbor Totoro, and you can see that movie is about this big kind of, he kind of looks like a giant...
Rabbit panda kitten.
Rabbit panda kitten, very good description.
Howl's Moving Castle.
Yep, there's Howl's Moving Castle over there, Nausicaa. There's lots of different characters here going on.
In the 1990s, other stories gained fans around the globe. In Sailor Moon, teenage girls use magical powers as Earth's protectors. Cute characters, colored hair, pointed chins, and big eyes symbolized the manga style.
And sure enough, there's Sailor Moon with her big pigtails and her girlfriends, Mars, Jupiter, Mercury, and Venus.
Originally, a handheld video game, Pokemon jumped into trading cards, television, and then comics,
marveled Dao. And we know about this, don't we? And that's part of the reason why we're reading this book is because...
Pikachu.
Yep.
Mew.
Mm-hmm.
Charizard.
Totodile.
Totodile.
Yeah.
Eevee.
Yep.
Ash Ketchum.
Soon, hundreds of creatures were found on books and home videos and movies and dolls and merchandise and clothing. 40% of Japan's print sales was manga, said Dao. The Tankobon was the handiest way to buy and read,
Emma said.
Every Japanese spent an average of $50 a year.
Ethan said, that's a super fan, an otaku.
Who's that?
Asked Emma, noticing a shy girl scribbling in a sketchbook.
I don't know. Not yet, anyway,
answered Dao.
She has doujinshi, fan fiction stories that she made all by herself.
So fan fiction stories are stories once you have seen a movie or read a book and you like it so much that you decide you're going to make stories using those same characters. That's what we call fan fiction.
Manga and anime can be about anything, noted Emma. Pirates, ninjas, and kittens. Cat things, sweat drops, speed lines, sparks, hearts, and eyes show how a character feels, added Dao.
These are cool emoji, joked Ethan. And yep, we can see some of these characters doing just those things. Whoosh! They returned to the 21st century.
Anime music is so catchy, sighed Emma.
Others admire the art, smiled Ethan.
They toured museums about creators, studios, and comics.
Now Japanese creations influence artists and entertainment all over the globe.
They were back in Tokyo, where stores overflowed with stories and streets with fans.
Today we can enjoy manga wherever we are, said Emma.
Anime streams on to the internet, to TVs, computers, and phones, said Ethan.
We've come a long way, concluded Emma.
But it still starts with a good idea and elbow grease, added Ethan.
Oops, that reminds me, yelped Dao. It's time we go back.
He hit his gong. Gong! In the final puff of magic smoke, they were back at the Comic-Con. As the kids sorted their snazzy souvenirs, curious cosplayers gathered round.
Was learning about anime and manga fun?
Asked Dao.
You bet!
Ethan and Emma were inspired.
We're going to write and draw our own cartoons.
And with a wiggle of his ears and a graphic novel in his paws, Dao laughed.
I can't wait to read and watch them!
And I can't wait for it either. If that inspires you to write and draw, then that's the best thing ever. We should all learn to express ourselves, shouldn't we? Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff, did you like that story?
Yeah.
Okay, me too. And that is the end.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.